adjust.
Why do I have two of these? What did I do wrong? I lucked out. No, it shouldn't help.
I'm going to call to order this special meeting of the Grover Beach City Council Improvement Agency for the FY06 budget. Wednesday, June 15, 2005, 6:30 p.m. Let's all stand and give a moment of silence for those who are sacrificed for our country. May we have a roll call, please?
Councilman Board Member Ashton?
Present.
Councilman Board Member Ekwall?
Here.
Councilman Board Member Lieberman is absent. Mayor Pro Tem and Vice Chair Grissom?
Here.
Mayor and Chair Scholes?
Here. Thank you. This brings us to public communications. Any member of the public may address the council slash agency for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item described in this agenda. The council and agency will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, we cannot act on any items not on this agenda. Is there anyone from the public who would like to address the council during public communications? Please come forward and state your name for the record.
First of all, I want to make sure on behalf of Exploration Station, do you mean the public as in that respect or individual public members that might have comments?
Are you here to comment on the budget or do you just have some comments?
On the block grant.
Oh, okay. Then you can.
Should I withhold that?
Yeah, why don't you withhold that
when
we come back? Thank you. Is there anyone else? Okay. Seeing none, we're going to close it and bring this to the council slash agency. This is a public hearing item, and for those who are following along on this agenda, this is CEC slash IA1. This is the proposed fiscal year 06 budget, and this is a continuation of a previous meeting on June 2nd. I believe we've gone through a majority of the budget, and we still have two sections that we still need to address. I believe that's the major capital and special activities. Are those the only two? Okay. Let's move into major capital. Who will be making the presentation this evening, City Manager?
Honorable Mayor, members of City Council, I guess Gayla is prepared to make a presentation in this.
Ms. Chapman, you're on.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, tonight we gave you a few change-out pages. There were some review we did of the major capital projects, and one of the things that we did was based on the information that you gave us at the last council meeting with not wanting to go to a vote of the people for the stormwater fund. We looked at projects in the stormwater fund as to which items could be placed on hold. So there will be several items that will be removed from the stormwater fund due to that purpose, and you received those change-out pages earlier last week. The change-out pages we gave you today, after reviewing again, we found a one project that should have been moved to special activities, and that was project number 352. It's more appropriate for it to be in the special activities category, so that has been changed. And I believe that's it for the major capital, unless there's any individual projects you wish to discuss.
Okay. Are there any questions of staff on the major capital? Council Board Member Ashton.
Would that include the water meters?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to ask just a couple questions there.
Mm-hmm.
Get some things right in my mind. How do we, maybe should be asking the city engineer, or maybe, how do we determine the water meters were malfunctioning? Did we actually contact the manufacturers of the water meter and arrange them to send out a person to do a random check on them, or do we just assume they were malfunctioning?
Councilman Ashton, Jim Gehring, city engineer. We know the water meters are malfunctioning because we don't get agreement between our production meters and the summation of all the individual meters in the city. So we know that the production meters have been tested and are accurate, and so we believe the errors are in the individual smaller water meters.
What is it, a sizable error?
It is a sizable error in the order of perhaps as much as $200,000 a year in potential revenue lost.
Okay. So in the recent years, we've been putting some new meters in, I assume, in the last, say, 6 years in that. Have we been putting updated meters in during that time, or what kind of meters have we been installing, and will we be replacing all the meters, including those that we've installed in the last, say, 6 years?
Councilman Ashton, Jim Gehring, city engineer again. Yes, the plan is to replace all the meters, and in the past, the meters that have been replaced, I believe, are the older type but are accurate type. And recently we've done some research into newer types of meters that are just coming on the market that are more likely to be able to read more accurately in the low flow ranges. And we do have two test meters out in the system right now of that type.
So when you say test meters, you've actually put one of the newer meters out in the system there where you thought you were getting inaccurate readings in that, and what have you found out by putting the new meter in there, that it's showing a higher reading, or?
You know, I'm going to have to call on Mike Ford to help answer that, I think.
Thank you.
Councilman Ashton, Mike Ford, Public Works Superintendent. We do have two meters currently being tested in the system. At this time, we aren't sure exactly how accurate they are. I would assume they are 100% at the end of the test period. We're basically doing it in a spot that uses the same amount of water. So these are both registering equal flows of high usage, low usage. So we're testing them that way to find out the meter that would serve us best in the future. But we have a test stand in our yard. We pull meters regularly. We test them. We have found most meters are running slow. So there's a definite discrepancy in production and sales.
So then you have pulled meters and checked them out on an individual test?
Regularly, yes.
I know. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ford. Were those all of your questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd just like a brief one on that. You said $200,000 in income lost. How many acre feet is that of water that we're losing? Is it significant?
I'm sorry, Councilman Ekbaum, that's too high a math. For me right
well, that's
now.
Why I asked you, but I didn't do it.
It is a sizable amount of water, though. I just don't remember the exact number.
Is it 20 or 50 or 100? I don't have any idea.
Councilman Ekbaum, Mike Ford, Public Works Superintendent. Closest estimate at this time is 23 acre feet.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Dave?
No.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Versailles.
Thank you. Gail, maybe I can ask you to kind of help me understand this. Let me ask you to take a look at page N39 in 40. And And this goes to the general way that these numbers are carried across and shown in this table. I kind of assumed that there's a couple of issues that kind of run across that I kind of confuse me, I guess. We have the fiscal year 05 approved and fiscal year 05 amended. I assume that the amended represented the what had been expended through the 05 fiscal year.
No.
Go ahead.
The approved is the original fiscal year 05 approved budget. The amended is any changes that were made to the budget during the fiscal year. So it is our final budget up through March.
Okay.
Those are through March's numbers. And the estimated, which is the next column, is where we believe we will be at the end of the fiscal year.
So when we have an expenditure that is significantly less in the estimated than the amended amount is or the approved amount is, that's what we expect to have. Does that mean that that's all the money we're going to spend on that project?
For this fiscal year, that's what was projected back in April.
So if we have, if that amended FY05 number is using, say, 10,000, and the estimate is 5,000, the project is still in progress, so there's $5,000 worth of work to be done on it yet.
Yes,
right?
And it's that amount's included in next year's recommended call.
So that carries into 06,
yes.
Plus any additional amount that we might want to be adding for additional work that we now contemplate.
Yes, and we've added those figures and combined them for fiscal year 06.
A lot of times I found when I was adding across and adding down, I'd find them to add up, but there were a number of times when I didn't find the numbers to come up the same. And
they're in Excel, so they should.
Well, I have noticed a couple typos and stuff like that, which I'll share with you.
That'd be great.
Later, but flip the page over to N40, and here's a case where we have nothing shown in all of the FYs, but a project total of 80,000.
Right, it's estimated for that the project will eventually cost us 284,000. This project, I believe, is also in last year's budget, showing the same dollar amount. At this point in time, we do not have a funding source for the project, but we felt it was important enough to show.
Where'd you find the 284,000?
Did I say 284,000? I'm sorry, I was looking at the project number 284. So
yeah.
That's probably where that came out at.
Okay, the 80,000.
So it's 80,000.
So
this
yes.
Isn't this then unfunded?
Currently, yes.
Oh. Okay.
So if you were to roll up to the sheets that show by funding source, it would show that it's not funded.
I thought somehow we had the unfunded stuff was segregated from the funded stuff. It is
in general, yes, but it was requested a couple of years ago, and whenever items are requested during the budget process, they end up showing in the requested column, and the requested column does not show on the capital improvement plan due to constraints of the size of the document.
Okay. Well, and I'm actually kind of glad to see it there to keep it in front of us because it is a significant project in this particular case. I do have a couple more, Mayor, if I can.
Feel free. Take your time.
Check into N27 is refers to the rehabilitation of the SCAT bus stop, including benches and covering. I'm not sure that pending the approval of the specific plan, if that occurs, and if in fact we are able to secure grant money, then this item would be probably wrapped into the project that would result out of that. Is it? And I guess where I'm going is, am I looking too far ahead and anticipating too much, or how does that work?
A couple of thoughts. One is that this was a project that was generated through the Parks and Rec Department as seen as a need independent of the Ramona specific plan. As the page indicates at the bottom there, we have some obligation under the Transportation Enhancement Grant to come up with local matches, and this could be considered part of a meeting that obligation as a local match. So it could be two birds with one stone kind of project.
I think that's good thinking, because you're absolutely right. Of course, there would be some matching funding that we'd be digging for if we didn't somehow anticipate it. The last thing I have is N38. It has to do with Oak Park. And I guess I'm a little surprised at the amount of dollars that seem to be left in this project. I thought that we had we were estimating about $250 as the outside funding that hadn't been spent on the Oak Park construction project when we were talking about what improvements we were going to approve. And just for the record, this now shows $534,000.
I can perhaps explain that this is one of those projects that involves funding sources that take significant reporting, and we have to pay the money, and then we get reimbursements. I'm sure you're very familiar with those kinds of projects. In order for us to make a payment in next fiscal year, we would have to do that from an appropriation in next fiscal year. And so at this point in time, this is what we think the amount of money, including somewhere around $200 to $250 of the unspoken for money, would be in that number.
Okay, I understand that. That's and you can I think you can understand how sometimes reading the budget, I wish there were a way to present the budget so we could say, well, here's how much we spent for this project, here's how much we spent for this project, and we've seen in comments that are made here and in letters to the editor and all that, there's a lot of confusion around how much money was spent on what projects, mm-hmm. during what years. That's kind of what gets confusing.
I agree. And there is a financial technique that can be used. We don't have it turned on or available at this time in our accounting system, and it's called an encumbrance. At the end of the fiscal year, if you have an obligation to pay something but haven't paid it yet, you can set those funds aside and they stay in last year's business.
Right.
And because we don't have an encumbrance policy in place, we reappropriate the money in the coming fiscal year in order to have the authority to spend the money.
Yeah, I don't suppose you can run both systems simultaneously, can you? Or can you? You can at least produce some sort of report that would reflect that encumbrance position on our cash.
Yeah, it's in larger cities with more complicated accounting systems, it's a standard practice. In smaller cities with less sophisticated accounting systems, it's more difficult to end up with that kind of a dual system, and it almost ends up being keeping two sets of books.
Yeah. Well, is there something wrong with two? No. Thanks for the explanation, Mayor. I just have a question about how we're going to proceed. I had some questions that really kind of relate to our indebtedness through bonding that's being proposed through this budget.
Okay.
And when would be an appropriate time to
special activities?
Hmm?
They're included with special activities. The
yeah,
bond indebtedness.
It is, isn't it? Well, why don't we wait till we see if it all comes out?
Because what I'm hoping that we can do and how we will get through this quickly, well, relatively quickly this evening, is that we'll go through the two remaining sections, which is major capital and special activities, and you can bring it up then. But the one thing we've been doing is we've gone through each department, and we really haven't taken a straw poll to see, you know, do we approve it in concept. So we will certainly, I want to go back to the top and just quickly hit a couple of bullets and see if there is a consensus on the different departments, so you'll have another opportunity to bring it up. So special activities, and then I also have comments from Councilmember Lieberman with respect to some of these areas that I will be sharing with everyone later as well.
Okay,
so
great, thanks.
I think I really only had one question on the major capital, and this is thanks for all the other questions and responses. In particular, I was looking at Project 309, the Cleaver property, and we had talked about developing that as a recreational use, maybe with some senior component. And I see it's Project 309 shown on page N4 and N59, and it looks like what is being recommended for this year is $3,200, and I'm curious to know, is that an adequate amount to prepare a master plan on that site?
Honorable Mayor, Kathy Petka, Recreation Manager. At this time, staff is planning on using that as a starting point for the plan. However, if we do anticipate more costs, we will bring it back to the council.
Great, thank you. Okay. Were there any other questions on the major capital? Okay, let's move into special activities. Administrative Services Director Chapman.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, one of the items that Mayor Pro Tem first saw brought up was the debt service. Some of the debt service that was being proposed is on page 09 for the water fund COPs, $4,030,000, and also a lease purchase for a fire apparatus of $100,000. And agency improvement agency debt, we're estimating approximately $6 million for new proposed debt service. For the items that we changed, Project 345 listed on page 021, the five-year urban water management plan. If you look down below 357, urban water management plan, it ended up in there twice. It had two different names, so I didn't catch it because it was named two different things, but they are the same project. So that's one of the items that's been deleted. And we deleted Project 345 because it ended up, when it was linked, getting linked to the wastewater fund versus the water fund.
Oh, I see.
So we chose to delete that project. And those are the only changes that I'm coming across at the moment. So if you have any questions on any special activities.
Could you go back over the $6 million debt service that you had referred to?
Yes, we looked at the projected revenues for the tax increment dollars for the agency Area 1 and figured 5.5% interest as a starting point and calculated how much money we could receive with that amount of money for payments.
Mayor, I should point out that we did borrow $2 million about 3 years ago, and that $2 million of that $6 million that we would be borrowing would be going to pay off the notes. So that would leave
basically
$4 million of that plus the residual of what hasn't been spent of the $2 million as working capital that would be available to the agency.
Great, thank you. Is there anyone else who has any questions of staff on special activities?
I'd like to just work on that same one again. On page 012, we're talking about the debt service, principal outstanding. It's the $2 million plus the advances from the other water departments for a total of $3,243. If we borrow $6 million, do we pay off all of those debts?
No.
So they're internal debts, I understand that. But so we won't pay off $3,200,000 and then have the $2,800,000 left. You're going to have $4 million left, and you're going to have adequate resources coming in through the improvement agency to pay for that $6 million debt without impacting the other city at all.
That's correct.
This isn't a burden on the city in any way. It's being borrowed against the improvement agency, and it's being paid for, and our forecast says that we will have adequate money to pay the $6 million debt.
That's correct, and I should point out that 20% of that would be housing set-aside funding, and the resources that fund has, it gets 20% of the tax increment, and therefore it has the ability to pay off that debt. We're obligated to, when we borrow money, to allocate 20% of that to low and moderate income housing program.
And also, I would like to add on page 014, it's showing the water fund advance amount with a repayment schedule starting in this fiscal year. We were going to repay $100,000 a year until it's paid off to the water fund.
But that's through our increased water fees. That's
no, this is improvement agency paying the water fund back for startup costs for Agency Area 1. We needed to start a repayment schedule per a request by our auditor, so we have looked at what looks like a feasible amount, and it'll take anywhere from, based on interest, of 10 to 12 years probably to pay it off.
I just want to make sure that the citizens understand that we're borrowing this money so that we can make improvements now rather than in inflated future dollars, and we can make a bigger impact right now with dollars in our bank ready to spend, and we're going to be able to pay it all back through this redevelopment income, so it's not a burden on our city. I think that the idea of a debt bothers everybody. We're all pretty frugal, I think, in our own lives, and this sounds like big numbers to us, borrowing $6 million against our city, but it's separate, and it's already designed how it's going to be paid back. So thank you.
Thank you for bringing that up. I think that's a great clarification, and I think I had said it last minute, and I would agree, you know. Yeah, to go on and take on this much debt can be a little disarming, but as long as we know there is a dedicated revenue stream to pay it back, we should be okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks for bringing
Mayor,
that up.
Mayor, if I could amplify that just a little bit further. The reason why the council, in part, went into formation of the improvement areas was to be able to utilize the property tax increment that's generated from projects. That property tax is taxes that those property owners are going to pay regardless of whether it's in an improvement area or not. And the fact that it's in an improvement area means that revenue stream, instead of being spread to a number of different taxing entities, comes entirely after the pass-through of 20% back just to the improvement agency. And that allows us to go out and borrow funds and to make improvements and leverage projects without increasing the property tax of folks in those improvement areas one penny.
Thank you for that additional information. Mayor Pro Tem Bersaw, did you have some?
Yeah, I'm still on the same subject, so bear with me a little bit.
That's okay.
In the narrative here, or the summary highlights, it mentions that the $733,000 loan from the Water Enterprise Fund to the Improvement Agency. It also indicates that there's an additional $361,000+ of earned interest on that loan, for a total of a little over $1 million mm-hmm. that the improvement agency owes the water fund.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, the problem I have is we're going out and doing a bond issue to get several $1 million to do water fund improvements when we've got an agency that we're closely associated with that owes us that $1 million is issuing bonds or going that we propose to issue bonds that will generate cash. I guess I'm wondering what the thinking is and why we borrow, in effect we're borrowing for both of them when one of them could be lessened at least?
That's an excellent question, and it's a clearly a policy question. If the council wanted to, or really the agency, wanted to have, say, $1 million less working capital available to the agency, you could pay off the water debt with the money that you would be borrowing on the agency side and reduce the amount of money that you'd have to borrow on the water side. That's clearly a policy decision, and that's something that the council/agency could choose to do.
Let me repeat a question I asked in one of our last meetings, just again so I understand this. We have a reserve now in the water agency, and my recollection is that allowing for the reserves that we prudent and required reserves that we need to keep in that dedicated fund, there's an excess of approximately $500,000-$600,000 there. My mind says that if we have $1.1 million here and another say $600,000, that's $1.7 million that's available right now, or as soon as we chose to, that we issue the bonds through the agency, and the agency repays the water fund. Is that close to right?
Actually, the water fund has about, at the end of this fiscal year, we're estimating that it will have nearly $1.2 million carryover. If we build a budget that operating revenues meet or exceed operating expenses, then theoretically that entire amount would be available for debt service and capital improvements. We are looking at proposing funding about 2.9 in a combination of special activities and capital improvements, and part of that special activities number is the debt service in order to borrow the $4 million. So you could, if you look at the model that Clayton Tuckfield built, and if you said $1 million of that is coming from a loan repayment from the improvement agency, then he, I'm sure, would be recommending, instead of borrowing $4 million at this in the next fiscal year from water, that we would borrow $3 million, and his model would work at that point. That would reduce the bonded indebtedness that he's talking about by about 25%, and I suspect that the rate impact would not be exactly 25%, but it would probably be in the neighborhood of 20-30% of the 30% increase that he proposed.
Is there, do we believe that there's an advantage in, if we wanted to do a bond issue now, that there's an advantage in doing it at this time to cover future years, as opposed to, say, waiting another year until we know more clearly what we might need in other circumstances?
It has been widely reported that the Federal Reserve is going to again increase interest rates in order to try to moderate the growth in or the pressure, the inflation pressure in the economy, and so we would fully expect that a year from now the rates would be higher than they would be now or in the short run.
And that would count at least in part, maybe the large part, of why your recommendation is that we do these bond issues at this time. Okay, I have switching our attention to the improvement agency situation. We're talking about $6 million, which really is $4 million when we end up with it. But the 20% set aside for affordable housing. That's the wrong term, but for housing. Two questions. One is, I know that once we have that money, once that money is available to the agency, isn't there a clock running on when we are supposed to spend it, or we lose it back to the state? Something like that?
I'm not aware of that that there's specific legislation that says that. I believe that that the threat has been when the state has looked at budget balancing that that improvement agency tax increment and the failure of improvement agencies to spend their low and moderate income housing money, which is an obligation that everyone has and doesn't always have the priority perhaps that other things that are generating income have, means that most agencies aren't doing a good job of spending their required low and moderate income housing set aside funds. And I think the state has been trying to, when it goes through its budget balancing exercises, trying to deal with justifying
stealing money misappropriate from the local agencies.
That they try to use that as justification for doing that.
So we think at this point it's kind of like saber rattling, and we don't know of any. I know there's been other local agencies have been concerned about that issue. But to your knowledge, nobody's been hit with that yet?
Not to my knowledge. CRA, the California Redevelopment Association, is very concerned about that and has been lobbying, trying to block efforts that would try to divert or punish redevelopment agencies for failure to spend that funding. I think the other thing that we ought to note is that our housing element isn't certified at this point, and once it is, then we would expect that a more proactive approach to affordable housing could be effectuated, and with the kind of money that we'd be able to assemble with this additional resources, we ought to be able to do something significant, and we wouldn't just be trying to figure out how to spend $100,000 or so, right. We'd be in the millions.
And we're all looking forward to that, I'm sure. But the last question that kind of follows with this, at what point do we determine that set-aside amount? We say, well, if we issue the bonds, say $6 million in bonds, then I suppose we assume that 20% of that, $400,000, would be the amount that we would be obligated to. So to me, again, it follows that if we only issued $4 million, say, or you know, some lesser amount, then we don't set that fund doesn't. I guess what I'm trying to do is avoid having a lot of $400,000 or any amount actually sitting out there that's vulnerable to the state taking it, and I was trying to see what our exposure is there. I guess.
My understanding of what the state has been talking about is to say. To deal with it in terms of ERAF, and ERAF is the tax increment that we would use to pay the debt with, and I haven't heard of them saying they would come out and get money that we have borrowed, but rather the ERAF or the tax increment that's generated and divert that to the state through the education augmentation, whatever it is. And the problem then is under the U.S. Constitution, that could look like an impairment of contract. We have a contract to pay that debt off with that revenue stream. And so the angle that the state has been working on that is saying, okay, you can choose to use your general fund property tax or you can choose to use your tax increment. And the most important thing, I think, is the point that you're dealing with, and that is if we have an active program and we're spending money and we're creating projects, that we are insulated from that kind of legislation.
Good, thank you. And Gail, let me ask you one more question. You mentioned that there's a repayment for the water agency that's.
Yes.
That's put into debt service from the improvement agency to the water fund. That's going to be starting this year?
It'll be starting in fiscal year 06.
Okay. And then that's what I meant. Thank you. What about the advance from the general fund to improvement district one or agency one, area one? That's the $230,000.
That was actually paid off last year. That should be removed.
Oh,
it was paid off in fiscal year 05.
We'd like to see that out of debt. Speaking of debt, there are two other debts, at least two other debts in here that I'd like a little clarification on. The rest of the council members are probably really familiar with this, but there's the Lopez, there's a water treatment plant, and I assume that's at Lopez. And
yes.
And there was, is the other, and the other one, is the dam seismic retrofit?
Yes.
And those aren't reflected here. Where do I find it?
If you look in the water funds budget, page, you'll see it in your detail section, actually. So it would be for you, it's going to be in the revenue and expenditure section Q.
Q?
Mm-hmm.
Q106?
Yes. Q106, line item 4390, contractual obligations. It says contract for Lopez Water.
Yeah, okay.
The city auditor views that as, and we changed this probably about 4 years ago, from an actual showing of debt in the city's budget to showing it as a contractual obligation. We're a member of Zone 3. So for us, it is a contractual obligation to Zone 3. The debt is actually Zone 3's debt.
And which item is this? This is the...
It's a combination of both items.
Oh, it's a combination mm-hmm. of both. And...
We make one payment to them.
And that's, for the records, in FY06 will be $177,000.
Yes.
Is there some big number back there someplace that we're actually paying down with this, or how does it work?
I actually have Lopez's budget in our office, and if you'd like to come and see it, we'd be more than happy to show it to you.
It's about this thick. I'm on the O3 committee. I probably ought to know it, you know.
You should have a copy.
Yeah, I should have. But this is not something.
Sounds like you guys have an appointment.
Any discretion in anyway? I mean, you know, we're obviously committed to this. This is one of our primary water sources. It's a major flood control matter, and we got to both have safe, clean drinking water, and we got to have a dam that's not going to fail. So that's good for us to know. I guess $177,000 a year is a bargain for this city for that facility. So thank you, Mayor.
Thank you for those comments and questions. That was a good discussion. Any other questions or comments? You know, I did want to kind of amplify the issue on redevelopment because the city manager did a very good job of answering this. The CRA is really concerned about the state coming after funds that are generated through the tax increment and ERAF, and I know that CRA has teamed up with the League of California Cities because they were very impressed with the way Prop 1A was put on the ballot and was passed. And so they are being vigilant and making sure that no further damage comes to redevelopment because they firmly believe that's one of the best sources of economic development that we have in this state. And the other point I wanted to amplify on that is to have working capital puts us in a great position because there are individuals who are looking at this community and are ready to invest. And I think one of the first questions they ask of the agency is, how much money do you have and how far, you know, what are you willing to contribute to this partnership? So it definitely enhances our position. Mayor Pro Tem Versailles.
Can I ask one other question about this section?
Yes.
There's been some discussion about, make a reference to page 048, and this has to do with the visitor serving specific plan that we discussed some in the past. And I've been contemplating this along with the other matters like the PD overlay that mm-hmm. we're looking at for the same area. And I would I'm kind of uncomfortable with the amount of money that we're proposing to spend with this specific plan, $65,000 this year, and I think it's significantly more than that altogether. And I quite frankly, at this point, I can't conclude that's a money well spent. And I'd like to get some thoughts from others.
Okay.
Particularly from any professional planners that might be available.
Mr. Raper?
How may I respond?
Well, maybe
what kind of information?
I think the last time a question had come up right. with what is, in fact, by doing a specific plan, are we getting something that's different than the PD overlay?
Yes.
And so maybe you can simplify it for everyone as
okay.
to the differences.
I'll certainly try. The PD overlay is really a combining zone district. It does not impact or affect the base zone district in terms of allocated uses and by right and by use permit. The PD overlay would be utilized to encourage unique and creative projects by offering the reduction or deviation from the strict standards in the base zone district. That's really what the PD overlay does. The specific plan is envisioned. Well, there's another part in the plan, which is called the concept plan, which really creates what Suzanne Bragdon referred to as the downtown slows illustration of what could be in terms of West Grand Avenue. And that was money's allocated to create an artist's rendition of what we would like to encourage and see in the future along West Grand Avenue. The specific plan is the additional tool that will actually do specific designs in terms of streetscapes. There's a new form-based zoning that's coming out now that talks about the relationship of the buildings to the street to create a comfort zone and create and encourage people to intermingle and cross the pedestrian flow in terms of the development. And the other term that they're using now is lifestyle centers. They're not really malls, but they're corridors where businesses come in. They're actually designed to connect to each other to occur and to encourage interaction by the users. And so it is envisioned that the specific plan will be another tool that can be utilized by the city in terms of planning and encouraging and focusing the type of development on West Grand Avenue. So that's sort of the strategy for West Grand.
Let me follow that up. Is this something that could be deferred rather than, because the amount that's being recommended this year really won't pay for a complete specific planning environmental document that would accompany it.
No.
So the question becomes, is this maybe something better to defer to, let's say, next year or the year after that when we have a better idea of what the state's going to do, when we have a better idea if the PD is going to have an effect on projects coming through and all those things?
Certainly, again, it's a policy issue. My opinion is that the sooner you allocate the funds and begin the process to show people that you're working toward establishing the vision and establishing what you want to see on West Grand Avenue, you're going to be better off. If the city does utilize the bond proceeds and you do garner working capital, this would be a project that could be advanced more quickly and be done in a year and a half instead of a two-year process. And allocating the funds this year, or majority of the funds this year, to move that project forward, I think would be benefit of the community. So, but that's my opinion. But if you feel you want to defer it till next year or the year after, then certainly you can do that.
Thank you, Mr. Aker. Are there any other questions?
Before we leave that, Mayor, I think I lost it. It is an OPRI. So the proposal is to fund this out of Area 1. So that would, it would follow then that the specific plan is limited to within Area 1.
That's right.
I think part of our discussion was that although we understand that Area 1 is kind of a, the what some perceive as the anchor area down around 4th and Grand coming up, you know, the beach and coming up this way, I think a lot of our business owners that are here from 8th to 13th or and the along the rest of Grand Avenue would be a little disappointed to be left out of any future concepts that we want. And I guess I'm trying to think of how we could have a plan that reflects some of the thinking that Jake has mentioned, because that certainly is the kind of thinking that we want to encourage in the development here. And there's a lot of there is a lot of energy going that direction, all over the place. Everywhere I go, I run into it. So it's that's nice to see. But I'd like to see that whole idea applied along Grand throughout Grand Avenue. Maybe you have to start someplace. I guess that might be a.
If I may,
yeah, please.
As we were talking to developers and Ms. Bragdon talking to the major developers as well as the city manager at the ICSC conference, and what they were talking about is taking small areas and make them very successful. And if you try to make your project so big, it becomes too massive, and you can't control it. You can't really encourage focusing in one area. And the other discussion that we had the other night between City Council, Improvement Agency, and staff was the parking study. And we talked about incorporating the parking analysis, blending everything together in terms of West Grand Avenue to encourage more intensification of the lots, but offsetting that with off-site parking facilities. And so we were blending the concept plan, the parking study, the specific plan, and everything else, and we're putting a lot of resources and focusing on West Grand Avenue. And so if we're successful in doing all that and pulling all these resources together and moving that forward, I think we're going to be able to have a product to really showcase for the next year ICSC convention that the city would, again, re-promote. Now, just to share with you, Mr. Anderson and I met with one developer down there at the ICSC convention. We've had two telephone conversations with him. They had planned a site visit this last weekend. However, they could not, whatever came up, they had to cancel. But I've had two telephone conversations with the gentleman, and they're asking a lot of critical questions. And so what we're hoping to do is utilize them as part of all of our efforts to, again, continue to promote West Grand Avenue.
Think they'd pay the $65,000 and get this thing started?
They said they have resources. So, but they also said how much can the city support?
Yeah,
the agency support them too. So.
City Manager Anderson.
I was just going to ask Jake to describe the area of the potential specific plan that we're talking about here versus the say, the PD overlay zone, and the question that the council or Mayor Pro Tem Versaw was talking about of moving back this direction.
We had dialogue at the last meeting, and we said, well, how far up does the CVC or the VC, CCV or whatever that zone district is, and we identified it went up to, I think, what was it, 13th Street. And so the PD overlay is primarily in the improvement agency boundary going to the east. Then it goes one block to the north of Grand. Then it goes up Front Street and includes the Lodge Conference Facility. Then it spins around, and it also goes into Agency Area 2 areas, the industrial site. So we wanted to include that because we see lots of potential for those underutilized parcels in that area. So it's pretty much the one block north, one block south, all the way to the Lodge Conference Center, and I think it goes up to 13th. And I can grab a map as we're discussing everything, other items, 12th, and then we can show you what we have identified in terms of your resolution for initiating the PD overlay text amendment. So,
if you want to, the specific plan covers.
Well, that's what we're envisioning, and
it cover the same that area you just described.
Right. That's what I was envisioning. Now, as we go through the PD overlay workshop and hearings, what I have done is included that large area. Now, as we go through that process, it's easier to reduce the area than to enlarge it.
Right.
And so that was my aim at that point, was to make it sufficient large enough that we could reduce it if we wished, but still kept keep the focus of West Grand Avenue on it. So,
thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Ashton.
Getting back to a point that Larry brought up a little while ago, there is a deal that kicks in at $1 million if you accumulate that much money in your housing section of it. In fact, it was brought up by Jerry when he was up here talking about it there. There are ways to get around it, though, if we establish a relationship with a housing trust fund to show that they're working with us to try to obtain some affordability in housing there, that will basically get us off the hook. It shows that we are making attempts along that line. And if you want me to, I'll give Jerry a ring there and get the exact information and get back to you on the upcoming council meeting on that particular matter.
And you're referring to the residential set-aside.
Right.
Good question you had asked. Okay.
And so just put this clear in my mind is the $6 million, that requires no citizen approval, right?
That's correct.
And $2 million of it is basically the refinancing of the existing note there.
Yes.
So you only will be technically, I guess, setting aside $4 million of it, a percentage of that.
I think it's $800,000. Correct.
And add that to our what we already have. In.
Is that correct, City Manager?
Yeah, we would be paying off the $2 million of debt, and when we borrowed the $2 million, 20% of that went to housing set aside in the first place. So we'd be paying off that debt, and then the $4 million additional, 20% of that would be for the low and moderate income housing.
Yes. Great. Thank you for those comments. I was going to try and wait and go back up to the department, but I think it's maybe appropriate for me to kind of share some of our Council Board Member Lieberman's thoughts, and this is in particular regarding the specific plan, since we are in fact discussing that. And he's expressed he's basically saying that he feels an obligation to use the existing bond proceeds for expenditures other than primarily consultant and conceptual studies. He would hope that we could better utilize projects that we already have invested in, basically visioning in Buxton, saying the majority of the articles that he has read on the issue speak to partnerships with private developers for the construction of a desirable project. And he talked about examples of this could be for funds could be committed to sidewalk, curb, gutter, storm drainage, sewer improvements. And it looks like he wishes to limit studies funded by the agency to the bare minimum, and that's the Passover project, such as a visitor serving specific plan. And I guess he says he's looking forward to receiving the PD overlay and would be interested in the agency funding a parking study. So I think that's another perspective. And, you know, my feeling on that is certainly being a planner, if you're going to, I would love to do a specific plan, and I would love to do a specific plan over the entire West Grand Avenue corridor. I think my concerns are, A, it's going to take 2 to 3 years to get through a process. I don't, quite honestly, 2 years is an optimistic timeline. I don't care how much money you throw at this. It's a process that you just got to go through. The problem that I'm having is that the folks are here. They're knocking on our door, and so are we really going to gain anything by going down this road right now? So maybe the better way to proceed on this is to do the conceptual plan, which is the pretty picture that you can put up in City Hall and say, here's the vision that we have. And that would cover all of Grand, or right, the vision, that would match the visioning study. And then let's go back to the parking study that I think was brought up previously. And so instead of the 10, we go back to the 20. I think staff had brought that to us, and we had rejected that. So, you know, I want to own up to past council actions. And then I at the last meeting expressed large concerns because of the land use element up in placing a specific plan requirement over properties that are designated residential ag now, and more specifically the strawberry fields on Farrell and any other areas, so that at least as we go forward in the long range, they know that there will be an expectation that there will be a master plan on those larger parcels that we continue to have in the city. And the last thing I wanted to bring up that has just come to light, we had a ad hoc committee meeting for the Beachfront Lodge Conference Center today, and part of our discussion was, and we are making fantastic progress on this project. We're, you know, the joint powers agreement, we have gotten everything submitted to the state to be part of their budget process. We are hopefully in the next month or so going to be signing a joint powers agreement. We've come up with a conceptual strategy with input from the state. One of the things that we're looking at is trying to figure out a way to streamline the process. The question has become, do we go to RFP, bring a developer on board, allow them to do the EIR and pay for that, which is a pretty substantial expense, I would say. I'm going to guess anywhere between $400,000 and $500,000. Or does the agency step up now, pay that, with the proviso that we, as part of the RFP process, require the successful bidder to repay the agency that money? By doing that, we can probably cut off, I'm going to say at least, I think we talked about today, about 2 years in that process. So maybe the money would be better spent in that capacity. And so I think I went back and kind of thought about the specific plan, and yeah, as a planner, my first thought was, let's do a specific plan, because that's the fun stuff. But in reality, how can we be effective in the short term? And so I guess that's kind of where I am on that item. I think that's kind of all the discussion we've got on special activities. Dave, did you have anything that you wanted to add on that? Okay.
I wondered where you were going with that idea of spending agency money now for an EIR for $300,000 or $400,000 without a project on in the wings. I mean, you're hoping someone will come up and repay that. If they don't, after a few years, your EIR is old and worthless.
Well, an EIR has about a shelf life of about 5 years, I think that's the common practice. So this is a policy issue, and that's why I'm bringing this up tonight. The question is it worth spending the money now to leverage a project? We have an economic study that says it's feasible, that says that 150 rooms, what are we talking, 5,000 to 10,000 square foot conference center can be successful. We've got representatives from the state who are telling us that this 50-year lease is unheard of in the state. They typically only give 10. There is no doubt in their mind that we will get a lot of interest in this, and someone will step forward, and they have crafted these agreements to do the very things we're talking about. And so they have spoken very strongly on that. So certainly the policy question is it worth spending that to accelerate the process by 2 years, or are we okay with building this thing in the year 2012 or 2013?
The fact that the transient occupancy tax and perhaps some sales tax would be generated by the project. So I would think if one way to analyze that question would be to look at, are we going to be generating 2 years more of TOT, and does that 2 years more of TOT cover the potential cost of the project, recognizing that on top of that, that cost is something that we could recover from the hotel developer slash operator. And again, we would be leveraging money for the general fund sooner, I guess would be part of the policy question analysis.
When will that come up for an answer? You're saying that's a policy question now, but when?
Well, we do have the feasibility study. We needed that as part of the submission to the state for the state budget. That hasn't been presented to the council yet or to the agency, and it seems to me that would be something that within the next month we could easily bring that to the council and a status report on what kind of activities. I think, as the mayor said, we may even be very close to a joint powers agreement, and it may be in that context that all of that information could come back to the council / agency.
Yeah, I think that would be good to bring it back in that context. And the last thing I want to say on this subject is that other agencies do this all the time, front the money, knowing that they're leveraging a project. So that'll be something
well,
to discuss.
Clearly, if you move up a project 2 years, it's in our favor. Mm-hmm. If there is a Hilton sitting there in the wings ready to start as soon as we hand him a finished EIR. But if there's just a lot of interest and nobody signed on the dotted line, I think it's a real gamble for us.
Well, yeah, I would say there's some risk involved, but, you know, based on my experience in representing folks who do this, when you present them with a project in which you have an EIR that's adopted, that has set the parameters of a project, that has a marketing analysis that says it's justified. I mean, you've done more than half their work. I mean, these guys will certainly be interested and step up if you have removed half of the, I'm not going to say obstacles, but certainly you've eliminated part of that difficult, that challenging process. So I think it's something we can talk about at a later date.
Just like to mention, I was in a meeting, actually workforce housing meeting last week, and there were three very credible developers that were in that meeting on workforce housing that asked me about when we were going to be prepared to be coming out with some RFPs or what was the status, and there's very strong interest.
Workforce housing on the beach? Are we the same subject?
What I guess that my point is that these are, it was a totally unrelated situation. People were.
There is some remaining funds that maybe we should transfer that into a line item. I think there was, $77,000 recommended this year for that very aspect of doing the environmental. I think that was merely where I thought it was germane to the nice discussion. So let's do this. We have discussed all of the sections, and hopefully we have gotten the majority of the questions out there and boiled it down to maybe a few bullet points per department, and then we'll go through this. And I'll try and tell you what I see are the outstanding issues. Staff, you can address them, and then we will ask the department head to come forward, because Councilmember Lieberman has asked me to ask the necessary two questions, and I fully intend to. So we're going to come back up to, we'll do city management, administrative services, community development, utilities. That'll be followed by parks and rec, fire, the police department, major capital, special activities, and improvement agency. And hopefully once we are done and we've given direction or staff has answered what remaining questions, we will see if there is a motion to approve the budget and concept this evening. So with that said, City Management Department, I think there was some good discussion in this area. Three things that I believe that had come up. The first one was the fire chief compensation. I believe that was an issue brought out by Councilmember Lieberman. And I just wanted to know if that had been addressed, or what staff, what was your take on that?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, the commitment or part of the work program that we're talking about is that I would be involved in doing that. Obviously, the fire chief would have a conflict of interest of negotiating that. The city manager of Arroyo Grande and I have discussed the issue, and the details of that are being worked out, and the discussion was raised in the Fire Oversight Committee by Councilmember Lieberman, and we have a basis for resolving that over the next several weeks.
Okay. I had written, and I must apologize, I had written down here something about the half of sales tax countywide. I'm trying to jar my memory as to where that had come from. Was there any discussion?
Well, part of the discussion that Gayla had with regard to administrative services department's work program, as well as the city management department work program, is the fact that there have been discussions about how to address some kind of locally raised and locally expended resources that can address some of the needs of Grover Beach as well as some of the other communities. As you know, the mayors, the mayor pro tems, and city managers have been involved in discussions, as well as representatives of the county, and that into that would allow us to fund, for example, a public safety assessment that would allow additional resources for police or fire. If you fund that in such a way that it frees up some of the resources that you have now, you could reallocate those general purpose revenues to general purposes such as street paving or whatever you wanted to, parks and rec. And I think it was just in that context where there was some brief discussion that as we look ahead and deal with what kind of services the community wants to have and what kind of services the folks are willing to perhaps pay a little more for, that particularly in the post-Proposition 1A period, when we consider those kinds of things, we're considering something that we have a fairly high assurance that they are going to remain local and not be a resource that the state can steal in an effort to balance its budget because it isn't making the tough political choices that are being made locally by city councils. So I think it was only in the context of that's something that we ought to be looking at over the next 6 to 9 months before, you redo your goals, for example, and perhaps you have more choices.
Great. I think those were the – well, actually, I did have another one. But records and file retention, we talk about doing the basics. And I think there was a request, but it wasn't recommended this year, or was there a small percentage recommended?
That's correct. There are several different issues with regard to that. We have – in a lot of ways, we're very paper-bound, and we have records that particularly the city clerk is required to maintain for a longer period than other departments, resolutions, ordinances, and things like that, and they have to be in fire-safe and locking kinds of cabinets. We've essentially run out of space in those, and we can acquire additional cabinets, but then our issue is where do we put them because we've run out of floor space. And so that was one of the things then we were looking at and trying to get some advice from consultants about how to perhaps use our space more effectively. And one of the potential uses was to be able to perhaps relocate some records across the street in the former Chamber of Commerce building. Other issues that we have, for example, is we could put the TV station in this building, in this area right over here, and that may free up some additional space for those kinds of records that need to be more secure for the city clerk, for example. Personnel records, human resource records are also records that need to have tighter control on them and need to be kept for longer periods of time generally than other kinds of.
I think we've looked at this budget, we've asked questions, we've had them answered. Is everyone okay with the budget as presented for the city management department for FY06? I see two heads shaking to my right and one to my left, so we there is consensus on that. Administrative services, I believe the big ticket item in this one was a part-time account assistant. You were combining work study with other monies, and I think the number you had given was, what, about $6,800?
Yes.
To the general fund. Were there any modifications since the last time that we had met and discussed your budget?
With regards to that position, no. I wish we could have a full-time position, but I know budget constraints for this year are kind of prohibiting that. We have several items that we could very easily give to an accountant to do. One of the items Ron mentioned was encumbrances, but in order to turn on encumbrances in the system, we would have to clone me and Eve, and that's not quite possible.
You have to what?
We would have to clone myself and Eve. And we also have the budget prep module, which we've never used in the system, and that would also require cloning of us. And several other activities, which we're hoping if we get a staff assistant, then we can put some of those items onto a staff assistant, but they would not be able to take over doing a lot of the new things we would like to be able to do in the department.
Okay, so... Well, I guess the question is, you're okay with the part-time, and it's something we can look at, and if the opportunity presents itself, look at expanding that.
Yes, in the future, I really, truly believe it'll be necessary with all of the special projects that we have going on, reconciliations that need to be done on each project. As the improvement agency takes off, I believe a half-time person devoted to the improvement agency will probably be necessary.
Okay.
But at this time, we should be able to get by with the staff assistant.
Great. Thank you. Now, here's your two questions. Will you be able to serve the community of Grover Beach with the budget of your department?
Yes, sir.
And are you prepared to be held accountable to this council and the taxpayers of Grover Beach for the management of your departmental budget?
Yes, sir.
Such confidence. I like that.
I've dealt with this budget for too long this year, so yes.
Okay, so we've all, I think the council and board members have seen the administrative services department budget. Questions have been asked and answered. Are there any concerns, or is there a consensus to accept the budget as presented by staff? I see nods to my right, nods to my left. Okay. Community development. I actually didn't have anything written down here.
Good.
I think. No. Yes.
I'm sure you'll think
of it. Will you be able to serve this community, the community of Grove Beach, with the budget for your department?
A qualified yes. Okay. As long as you don't assign additional projects and not provide the resources, yes.
Well, we've been talking about the excitement in the community and folks out there looking to invest, so no promises there. Are you prepared to be held accountable to this council?
3, 6, 9... 8 or 9 different funding projects that we have there. Some of them are $3,000, $3,000, $2,500. We keep hearing all of the problems associated with record keeping, administrative problems with the federal program, and why do we keep doing this? And we keep saying, well, we won't do this anymore, but we do. So don't we have a consensus that there's got to be a better way than doling out these small amounts of money to individual community groups out of CDBG? I thought we had that really consensus last year where we said, well, next year we'll do something different. Well, this is the same thing. So I'm just wondering, right? I mean, all year long we hear it from staff, all of the time involved in administrating these grants.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I should have written that down. Mr. Raper, could you briefly, because I know we've had this discussion, we're working toward trying to address that issue. Could you maybe just quickly recap, and then I'm kind of curious as to know how we could, is it appropriate to address that this evening, or if it's another policy decision for another night?
I think it's going to be a policy decision for another night, and And the reason I state this is that for this upcoming 05 CDB cycle, the county has concluded their hearings and adopted their action plan for their 05 cycle. We have reviewed and considered community-based organizations' requests for grants. The City Council conducted two hearings and made that recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. I think if the City Council wants to proceed with your dialogue at the last meeting of having one CBO, community-based organization, or two, compete for that nonprofit funds, and say, let's have a competition, competitive process, and the ones that serves a greater number of residents and provides the greatest number of service, they would receive the funds for two agencies. And that way it reduces it down to two organizations that receive all the money, and we still have the allocation necessary for the targeted income groups. So that could be a policy direction that you wish to go. Now, if you take a look historically, is that I think in 05 we had 8 or 9, and I think in 06 I think we had 5 or 6. So we're reducing the number of CBOs that we fund from 3 years ago to now. And again, it was to try to implement the concept of not just give a $1,000 grant and spend $2,000 trying to administer the grant.
Well, I guess my point in bringing it up again was maybe there's a way that we can track the amount of administrative time is involved in each grant or one of them, just to see what a typical grant costs in staff time.
Trade CDBG funding on more significant public improvement kinds of projects or housing kinds of projects, and to not necessarily fund any community-based organization kinds of projects. You can give us that kind of direction, and when we come up with proposed projects for CDBG, we can try to follow that. Now, you have some obligation through CDBG to open this funding up to community-based organizations, and they have a right to come in and tell you why they think their program is the best expenditure of CDBG funding, and it probably would be better for the council to have an open process up until the point that you're making a decision on the preliminary CDBG budget about what it is you want to fund. And if we have alternatives in front of you that can fund, a significant number of kinds of projects that are of higher priority to the council and have lower per dollar spent administrative overhead costs, then that could be part of the criteria that the council is using to select which projects are included in the annual application.
Mr. Redwood, did you want to add anything to that?
No.
Okay. So, Dave, was your answer, your question answered? Do you see any?
No, I understand it's too late now. I think it was last year. The same process will happen the same way next year. Mm-hmm. Right at the last minute, we will get a city council meeting that we have to turn in this list a week from now. And so here they are, here's the deals, blah, blah, blah. And we haven't had time to discuss it ahead of time where we can get a consensus that, yes, we should spend it on housing or we should spend it on streets or something more significant or one large community group or something, you know. We need to have that discussion before the CDBG funding cycle starts and the requests come in.
So, and I think that's kind of the direction the city manager was talking about. Give direction to come back to us before that to discuss community-based organizations and if it's going to be just one and what the criteria is. More specifically, are they a direct benefit to the community of Grover Beach, which is something
I think they all are. And I'm just not I'm not opposed to funding them. I'm opposed to funding them with this federal money that has all the strings attached.
Yeah, I recall that.
Okay, thank you. That's enough.
And you know how I feel. Councilmember Ashton.
I can hear where Dave's coming from there. However, we don't have funds available in our general funds to supplement or take over these deals. I do think we need to tighten up our distribution of the money there, maybe pick a earmark in the future, a specific project that will benefit everybody within the community there. I'm somewhat...
up to 18 months to expend the monies, and I think as part of the last deliberations on this, there were some who had funds who came forward and requested it, and those were denied. So I think we are doing... We're slowly moving to where Dave wants to be, but I'm, as I said at the last meeting, no general fund money. If it comes to providing general fund money to community-based organizations and having a police and fire department, I think it's a no contest in my mind. So, were there any other questions or concerns with community development? And I've been remiss. I should have been opening this up to the public since we have had that discussion on CDBG. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to come forward and address this item? Or did she leave?
She said she had another obligation that she needed to attend to. Just
to identify, she's representing, she's the new chair or... what is it? What is she? I couldn't hear you.
Executive director.
Thank you. The executive director for Exploration Station. And she had a speech prepared to identify all the great things that she's doing for the community of Grover Beach and would be requesting that her entitlement remain intact.
Thank you, Mr. Raper. Someone let her know that Mr. Raper did present her points to the council. Is there anyone in the audience who wanted to provide comments on administrative services or city management department budgets? Seeing none, okay. So let me come back to community development department budget. We've seen it. Questions have been asked and answered. Do we accept this as presented by staff this evening? Yes.
Yep.
Utilities department. There was so much discussed under this, I didn't write any bullet points on this. Does anyone on the council or agency have any comments or anything that's lingering in their mind that needs to be addressed under this budget, this department's budget? Yes.
I might make a comment. That was, and maybe this comment actually stretches to the special activities. It goes to that debt service, but the way it affects this is in regards to the water fund being paid back by the agency. At this point in time, in reflecting on the comments that the city manager was able to fill in for me, I'd like to say that the water fund itself is healthy and able to stand on its own, particularly with when we have the rate structure in place that will do two things. It will bring it more in line with what's the other rate structures that are in this area, and it will encourage. I think if we have conservation efforts take hold and we get these meters replaced, I think we're going to see a drop in the usage and hopefully preserve some of that precious water that we're real close to running out of. I just wanted to comment that I'm satisfied about that.
Well, those are very good comments, and I want to make sure that Councilmember Lieberman's concern is raised under this department. He says he remains uncomfortable with the $4 million bond issue. He can support $2 million for water meters. As combined with the water rate restructuring, and as he stated in the past, he feels there should be more discussion related to debt without a pressing timeline driving this council. He feels that would be valuable. I don't know if there's anyone who agrees with that or not. I would say, Mayor Pro Tem Versailles, I would agree with your comments. I think you are right on the money, and I think at the last meeting, understanding that we can accomplish a lot with a dedicated revenue stream to pay this back, I'm okay with the debt issue. I think it's a great way for us to get a lot of things accomplished. And Mr. Ford is at the podium. So, Mr. Ford, council member, board member Lieberman would like me to ask you two questions. And the first one is, will you be able to serve the community of Grover Beach with the budget of your department?
Absolutely not a problem. That was for Steve.
There's a character in every group. Are you prepared to be held accountable to this council and taxpayers of Grove Beach for the management of your departmental budget? And I guess that's a question for you and Mr. Raper and maybe even the city engineer to some degree.
We will all work together, and speaking for the three of us, Mr. Mayor, City Council, yes.
Thank you. Is it Councilmember Ashton?
I don't know if to call you Steve or Becca. Your comments you were making there for Steve there, if I heard you right, he favors a $2 million for the new water meters. So he'd be in favor of a $4 million bond issue because you got to still refinance or pay off the one that falls due on that. So he'd be in favor, then bottom line is a $4 million bond. Is that
different,
right?
Bonds.
Pardon?
Different bonds.
Yeah, but they're raising the $6 million to pay off the $2 million that comes due next
different
year.
$2 million.
Different $2
million. That's the improvement agency.
Okay. Got a little confused there. Apologize.
No apology needed. That's why we're here to ask questions and get the answer so we're comfortable making a decision. So he doesn't appear to be adamant because he's just saying he's uncomfortable. And he's one vote that's not here. So anyway, we have seen this department's budget presented. Questions have been asked and answered. If there are no other concerns, is there a consensus to accept this in this department's budget in concept? Yes, okay, we're good. That brings us to Parks and Recreation Department. And I actually have five bulleted items in this department. I think the first thing that it didn't get a lot of discussion, but I want to make sure I mention this again. There was a discussion about the recreation manager being made a director. I know there was no analysis of this, of the fiscal impacts, but city manager and city attorney, I know that's kind of one of those directions that is sort of on that edge, but any insights?
Mayor, if I could respond to that by saying that we are involved in a classification and compensation study where we have hired a consultant to do that as part of our obligation under our memorandum of understanding with the Service Employees International Union. That classification and compensation plan is analyzing all city positions, the relationship, the internal relationships of all of the different classifications in the city, as well as the relationship of those classes to comparable classes in other organizations. And I think the initial step in that kind of discussion ought to be to look at whatever that study recommends. Because it is in the context of all of the classes in the city and the internal relationships and things that are required of each other and is used as a basis, therefore, of determining what comparable salaries would be. And so I would suggest that since that is in the final drafts kinds of stages, that when that study comes forward, we can bring it to council and we can analyze that, or the council can analyze that question in the context of all of the classes in the city.
Is that acceptable, city attorney?
Yes.
Okay. how does everyone else feel about that? There was very little discussion when he brought it up initially, and I just wanted to make sure that it was at least out there for anyone to make a comment.
I think it'd be appropriate to revisit the question once we do have the survey.
Okay. Yeah, and I just want to go on record as saying we do have an individual who has, I think, performed a role. She's been expanding her responsibilities. I think I haven't found anyone in the public, and I think a majority of the council members have nothing but good things to say about how this department is operating. And so if we can do that in that context and see really where we are, I think it would be a good thing to do. So, what's that?
Could I tell?
Yes, Councilmember.
I just want one clarification on that. The two new part-time people that you're going to be utilizing, basically with the skate park deal, they're going to be, you just lost one full-time coordinator, whatever their title is over there. You're going to have that right in two, and that's how you're creating the two part-time people. We're not going to be seeking another full-time person to replace the person that's leaving us now.
No, we are actually planning on recruiting for that full-time position. We do have someone working part-time to help us through the transition, and that will be in addition to the two part-time on-site skate park staff.
And they're going to generate a farmer's market on Sunday at the Ramona's Park?
Based on the information we've received from the contractor and the success of the Avila Valley Market and all of the information we've researched, we feel confident that this will work in Grover Beach. On all of the information we have, we've been working with them, going to meetings, talking to the board, visiting the market. We feel like this is a good move, and it's also something that that's been brought up in the past as a goal for Grover Beach to enhance community opportunities. So this is something that the timing is well, and it's an opportunity for us if we do want to take advantage of that opportunity now.
And I guess my dilemma is I still have never heard the income stream to the city for that $20,000 investment.
Well, I think she tried to answer that as best she could before, and what she was saying is that this is some initial seed money, and there will be revenues coming back to the city. The hard part is not knowing. It's sort of the revenue enhancements, too, for lack of a better term. I think the last time she gave an example of what they were generating in Avila Beach, and I don't recall that number, but if we were able to generate half of that, we would more than recoup the $20,000, and it would generate revenues to this city. I believe that was the point that was made at the last meeting, correct?
Right, that's correct. We anticipate every market we will receive a percentage of the sales, and in addition, the vendors do pay the city a fee. So,
I'll be very interested when you answer Steve's question on this tonight.
Ms. Petker, can you tell us what, using Avila as an example, can you tell us what kind of revenue that
they
generates?
Per market, they're bringing in anywhere between $400 and $800. And that's direct revenue to the nonprofit association that they have. That's covering their costs. So that goes straight back into the main bucket, and they reuse that for their promotions, and it's for the market overall. So when they first started off, they were only bringing in approximately $200 revenue. And in the last two, they've brought in approximately $800 because the weather's getting better, the word's getting out, promotion's working. So
I'd like to think that this activity, like a lot of them, also generates some other business for other.
Absolutely.
I'm not so sure about that. I was thinking on it, and I know I go to farmers markets fairly regularly in different places, and I go there, get what I need, and I get home so I can put it away, you know, produce and everything, and so I don't hang out and have dinner or go shopping. You know,
so we're hopeful that people will stop and fill up their gas tank and stop and have a bite to eat and pick up their vegetables as well. That's the hopeful.
Could happen.
Yeah.
John.
Yes, Councilmember Ashton.
I admit I'm a little remiss here. I forgot all about our topic tonight here on it's going to include the farmer's market. I think the last Sunday's Tribune, you know how they take their top picks of the top businesses in the area or a certain type of deal, they actually dealt with farmer's market.
Will you be able to serve the community of Grover Beach with this, with the budget for you, for your department?
Yes, our department is going to have a very aggressive work plan, and we have a lot to look forward to, and we're really enthusiastic and excited about it, so we are looking forward to that.
Great. And the second question is, are you prepared to be held accountable to this council and the taxpayers of Grover Beach for the management of your departmental budget?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, that's stated with such confidence. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any member of the public who would like to come up and make any comments on the Park and Recreation Department's budget? Seeing none, we'll bring this back to the council agency. We've seen the budget presented. We've asked and asked questions. They've been answered. Is there a consensus to accept this department's budget in concept?
Yes.
Yes? My left?
Yeah.
Yes. We have a majority consensus. Next up is fire department. Chief Fiebig. And I believe I have three bullets here. I believe these have been addressed. I think the first one was a direction to restore the mandatory training into the budget, and that was an amount of $12,800.
The training was restored into the budget. When we were producing the budget, we did not know about the anticipated revenue for selling the two fire engines that we are going to probably be selling this year. So we have included that in the budget, and we're able to take those funds to increase the training for the department and also for debt service for the proposed purchase of the used fire engine.
Okay. So you did it so that you addressed the issue of the used fire engine that the chief has gone and taken a look at. Okay. So that's the second one that was addressed. And I think there was also a note regarding the assumption based on the fuel. And the cost of fuel didn't go up for in the fire, but it did for police. And I don't know if anyone had to ask been asked that question or if anyone had a chance to look into that.
Part of what we're looking at with regard to the fire department budget is that we are costing out the staffing of the administrative captain as a full-time permanent position, and it currently isn't one. And we talked about the administrative flexibility to move funding around during the course of the budget, and that a budget is really a dynamic thing. And if we're successful at being able to fill that position sooner rather than later, that at mid-year, when we do the analysis of mid-year status of the budget, we can see whether the fire department is on track to living within its budget. If it doesn't look like it is, then we can easily identify the funding out of the general contingency in order to fund that kind of a cost. If the fuel is on target and it's not an issue, or there's savings elsewhere in the budget, then the cost would be absorbed.
Mayor Schultz, members of the council, Terry Fiebig, your fire chief, the fire department, the members of the fire department, and I will do everything that we can to provide the highest level of service, continuing at least at the level that we provide today, with the budget that you have given us to work with for this next year.
Okay. And are you prepared to be held accountable to this council and the taxpayers of Grover Beach for management of your departmental budget?
Again, I include the members of my department as well as myself, and do assure you that we will be held accountable.
Great. Thank you, Chief.
Mayor, if I could, there's yes. One point that I think that the chief would like to get some direction from the council on, or support from the council on, with regard to being able to actually go out and start the process of acquiring one of those engines that the department would like to acquire a combination of the Rio Grande station and the Grover Beach station. And if you're approving the budget and you're approving the acquisition of that and the sale of our surplus engines, part of what I think he's looking for is the authority for the chief and myself to be able to enter into whatever purchase order or whatever that would bind us and allow us to be one of the two agencies that is acquiring those engines. There are competitors out there, and so if you're approving the budget, then we're asking that part of that include the authority for us to bind the city with next year's money to acquire that.
Thank you for that, City Manager, and I think that's a good segue into a comment that Councilmember Lieberman had relayed regarding the fire department budget. Certainly, he's grateful for inclusion of the overtime to cover state and federally mandated training. And I was going to summarize it real briefly, but I think it's germane to the issue of the fire engine because he is on the fire oversight committee. So I definitely want to make sure that we are all privy to this information. Basically, he said that he has learned in recent fire oversight committee meetings that this equipment is priced over $50,000 less than comparable equipment, being that the current equipment is failing on a more regular basis with newer engine experiencing significant safety challenges such as brake failure. We must consider a replacement. The proposed engine is modern and designed with an enclosed cab, a safety mandate that will allow this vehicle to perhaps respond to both regional and state mutual aid requests, leaving a new American LaFrance vehicle in the community, saving unnecessary wear and tear for these large-scale event deployments. And he is asking for support in including this piece of equipment in the budget. So how does everyone feel about including?
Mayor, I had just a kind of a procedure thing. Are you, I'm in favor of going ahead and doing that.
Okay.
If you, do you need special direction to approve now the right to purchase that? Or can you wait until the budget's adopted on the 29th and then?
Technically, we want to be able to indicate that the city is going to
approves the fire department budget and concept that would include the item that is being discussed. Implied in that, and with council's authorization, is it the city manager's and the chief's ability to bind the city in whatever initial agreement is necessary to secure our ability to acquire that piece of equipment when the budget is finalized.
So I guess the question, the answer is we can do it if we approve the budgeting concept.
How about, is there any reason not to just have a motion to authorize that?
This was not a separate agenda item, so therefore it probably...
Okay. So it's listed on there as a recommended action.
Right.
Item 3A.
Well, it is a separate agenda item.
It is not a separate agenda item. It's part of the action that is being recommended. Yeah. And if the council would prefer to have a voice vote on that particular item, which is item 3 on the recommended action, the mayor would be appropriate to see if there is a motion for that.
Well, I was going to suggest that we make one just for clarification's purpose. I'd like to make a motion that we authorize the city manager and the fire chief to take appropriate steps to commit to the purchase of the fire engines from Sparks, I guess.
Fire engine.
Yeah, that's it.
And it would be from American high-tech American LaFrance, Mayor Pro Tem.
Yeah. Like authorize them to move forward with that as appropriate, and the allocations for payment on it would be included in our approved budget.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. And before we take a voice vote, I just want to make sure there's no one in the public that would like to comment on the fire department budget. Look, seeing none, we'll bring this back. Do we, we've seen the budget, we've asked questions, they've been answered. Do we agree with the budget? We accept this budget in concept?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Now, on that separate motion, all in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? None. Motion carries.
Mayor, members of the council, thank you very much.
Thank
I did
you,
have
Chief
a
Fiebig.
Question, though. Did late. The mechanics wrestle over which city got which engine?
Another city that got ahead of the city of Grover Beach last night, and they picked the first engine.
That's what I thought.
Both of the engines are very, very credible pieces of equipment, very dependable, deemed very dependable, and I think that either way that the cities went, they would have both fared well in this, and I thank you very much for your support.
Can you get them on the phone tonight and tell them we want that?
You better believe it. It's that hot.
Right,
thank you very
Chief.
Much.
Next up is the police department budget. And I guess, Lieutenant Stokesbury is here. Now funds are restored that we can take a look in the very near future. Were there any comments and questions on the proposed budget for the police department this year? Is there anyone in the public who'd like to comment on this? Okay. Yes, I won't leave you out. You have two questions, Acting Chief. The first is, will you and Chief Copsey be able to serve the community of Grove Beach with this budget for your department?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor and Council, Chief Copsey has asked me to come here and emphatically state that not only he and the administration, but the men and women that make up the Grover Beach Police Department will continue to serve at a very high level our community.
Thank you. And the second question is, are you prepared to be held accountable to this council and the taxpayers of Grover Beach for the management of your departmental budget?
Again, speaking for Chief Copsey, we are. We feel that, especially in this day and age, it's imperative that we be held accountable by the public for their dollars that we spend. And we are ready to be held accountable in any way they see fit.
Great. Thank you. Do we accept this department's budget and concept this evening?
Yep.
Yes?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
Next is the major capital. And I believe this was part of Mr. Raver's department. I think there was a modification to the budget that you took out sections regarding the stormwater fee.
In this budget, we under the Water Conservation Fund, page N9, we moved the water recharge tracking system over to the special activities section.
Okay. Great. Were there any other questions, comments, direction, concerns with this portion of the fiscal year 06 budget? Okay.
Raise your right hand.
Two questions. Will you all be able to serve the community of Grover Beach with the budget for your department?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
I do.
Make it audible. Don't just shake your head. The second question is, are you prepared to be held accountable to this council and the taxpayers of Grover Beach for the management of your departmental budget?
Yes, we are. We are.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public that would like to address the major capital portion of our FY06 budget? Seeing none, I will bring it back. So we've seen the budget. We've asked questions. They've been answered. Do we accept this, the major capital portion of the budgeting concept?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, yes. Okay, we're good. Special activities. I'm not going to ask you the same two questions. So, was there anyone who had any questions or comments or any further direction on special activities in the 06 budget?
Mr. Mayor, I'm still, I find myself in, I can't support the specific plan item. I'd like to consider dropping that from our budget this year.
Okay.
Projects along Grand Avenue that this specific plan would benefit from having us started or moving along or showing an interest in rather than doing nothing, I think we should do it. And so I guess I will bow to you two expertise on the...
That's not what the specific plan does. So
well, if it's going to end up to be a large-scale drawing, conceptual drawing, and that's all there is to it, then it's a waste of $65,000. I understand that.
Yeah, it won't be that. That's for certain. The conceptual plan will...
$150,000
Well...
Would you be agreeable to, let's say, if we put it out a year, defer it a year, and dealt with the conceptual plan this year, the parking study, I think, that we've all said needs to be done, and I'm convinced that the land use element map needs to be updated to address those conflicts and potential opportunities out there around the train station. So the specific plan would address those issues, but I think a land use amendment would as well.
In a faster time period? Is that what you're...
Let me ask Mr. Raper, do you think that could be... I believe so, but let's hear what the department director has said on that.
And the question is?
Do you think we could accomplish a concept plan, a parking study, and an update to the land use element map addressing those areas I had talked about in a shorter time frame than doing a specific plan? So we're obviously trying to gauge, you know, which can be done quicker.
Most definitely. The concept plan requires no environmental documentation. It's getting the vision, getting artist renditions, and that should probably take 3 to 4 months once the contract is let. The parking district study would be a little bit more complex, because you have to determine your your boundary, you have to determine your intensification as to the type of development you want to encourage. You want to make some assumptions as to how much off-street parking would be put in the city facilities versus on-site parking. So that's going to take a little bit longer, and there'll have to be some assumptions and studies made to assist in the conclusion of that. Then once you finish that up, then you have to start creating your district, which goes through a little bit of a hearing process. Then the land use element update, that would be something that would probably take anywhere from 9 to 12 months to complete. And most likely, if we do it in segments and smaller chunks, we most likely could issue negative declarations with those resolving the conflicting land uses. The general problem that we have in terms of the land use map, that would be the easy fix. The more complex fix is the text of the land use element itself. And Mr. Scholes knows, the land use element text is a very unique kind of general plan, a land use element for community.
Nice try, though. I appreciate that. Well, Dave, you know, I'm glad to hear your comments tonight, because I think the last time, I believe there was a question as to what's really the value in doing a specific plan, and it sounds like you kind of feel like if it's something that's going to take 2 years now or later, then let's just get it going.
I think my biggest fear is we're trying to generate interest in our city and development to come in, and you've attracted people that are coming here talking about it. If there's something that we haven't done and need to do before they can get started or are willing to think about getting started, we should be doing that. We don't want to be behind the ball rolling down the hill. I mean, we'd like to be in. So anyway, I understand, and I remember the conversation from the last meeting where there was maybe other ways to do it. But if we're just delaying it because we don't want to spend the $65,000 and we're generating a lot of money in our improvement area that could be used to spend it, and it's the benefit to improve an area. Money isn't the primary problem then, I think.
Okay. No, that's a really good point. And I think the last time we were talking about what really are the boundaries of this specific plan, should it go all the way to 12th down to the ocean, or should it be more focused?
Right.
And maybe that's a detail for maybe another time. I guess the only question I would have to Mr. Raper is, if we go forward with the visitor service specific plan in here and this amount, couldn't we in fact utilize that money to initiate some of the land use changes, to initiate the parking analysis, understanding that we're going to have to fund more money to do this specific plan anyway, and you can kind of set the groundwork and accomplish some of the short-term goals with the long-term goal of having that specific plan in place in 2 years.
And again, as we talked about previously, is if the city council wishes to move forward with a specific plan, the integral part of that would be the parking district for that plan boundary. And so with that, we could, with a specific plan, we can certainly look at the intensification and type of developments and give a pretty good projection as to what is needed in terms of our public parking facilities.
Okay, thank you.
But then if you do a parking plan now and you do a specific plan a year from now, is that,
and
so
it,
then we
it
don't need to fund it now? Is that?
Well, as I stated earlier, in order to be successful in doing a parking study and creating a parking district, you'll need to know what your ultimate usage of the land is going to be, the percentage of intensification, and how much on-street, on-site versus off-site parking is going to be permitted. And that's the way I would see the whole project coming together, is looking at the specific plan, looking at the parking demand based upon that, then looking at the type of facilities that we need, then setting up the funding source to accomplish that.
So each plan needs information from the other one to complete it. So
yes.
It seems like it should go hand in hand, concurrently.
Yes. Movement going forward is that we certainly do not want to delay projects 2 years if we have an interested developer. I think we have to be in a position to respond to what they're asking for. And if they're asking for some parking to be reduced for a public facility, certainly that could be an agreement that we would enter into. And then as we move forward with that, the developer would be obligated to pay their fair share cost for that parking facility to accommodate the movement of that project going forward. So there's many different ways to handle the situations, but I don't see us stopping any development for 2 years while we're doing the project, but accommodating projects as they're coming in and encouraging them to look at the vision of Grand Avenue, and if it's in compliance with that, certainly support moving that forward and incorporating that project into the specific plan.
Yeah, and I think that was an excellent question that you asked, because I know in other communities what is done is they will develop the standards, and while the specific plan is in draft form, you could certainly encourage someone to design to those standards, whether it's putting the building up to the sidewalk and parking behind. I think you could certainly use some of the concepts before it's officially adopted. So, Dave, I think you've swayed me this evening.
I have a bit of a concern that if we start a specific plan now, 6 months from now, a developer comes in, wants to propose a project, they find out we're in the middle of doing a specific plan that's going to maybe change the way that that we consider and approve projects down there. Going to back off and wait for a year and a half or however long it takes to get an EIR processed and do all the rest of the things necessary for a specific plan to see what the results are going to be.
Well, and I think that it's kind of the way it's typically done is you, until this plan is adopted, you can't mandate they design to it. You could merely encourage them to design to a standard, and it would have to be something voluntary.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
But if they
if you're going to tell a developer that looks like with a specific plan we're going to have a more liberal approach to what our requirements, our restrictions are in the downtown area to encourage more mixed use and higher density or whatever, If I'm a developer, I'm going to wait until that's
done. Well, I think the correct answer to that is that the PD overlay is intended to do just that, that we get that adopted. So that would address the issue of the standards, but not necessarily design guidelines, which is, and not only design guidelines, but issues of financing public improvements and the phasing of construction. But your point, that's a really good point. Wow. So, gentlemen, where are we at on that? I think I know where you are. How do you feel about this?
I have a preference, but I'll tell you right now that I'm not going to
drafting a new plan, another plan. I kind of like to see some groundbreaking down here somewhere, and that. And I listened to what Larry had to say there, and I can see, well, sometimes when you keep creating these plans, it's like putting up a red flag. Well, hey, wait a minute, don't come in here yet because they're still creating plans. They with their new plans may not. I may not fit into them in that, and I want to see them start breaking some ground down here sooner or later here. I mean, we're in, what, our 10th year of a redevelopment, going on our 10th year of redevelopment there, and at some point, I think it's in the 15th year, you're going to start losing some of your 80% of your captured money there. I think it starts reversing itself to where you get to 40 years, you've better have in place some of these businesses and that. So I tend to lean towards Larry said there that if we have stuff in place, we'll be putting in place there. Maybe we can work with that and try and get somebody and encourage somebody to go ahead and break some ground down and just get some income coming in.
Okay.
Well, I think Jake said that we're certainly not going to stand in the way of some project that's coming forward. We're going to work with them.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not. Well, this won't impede their. Yeah. Desire to come.
Well, Dave, I'm glad to hear your comments.
Okay.
Yes.
One thought, and that is that what you could do is approve putting the money in the budget in the contingency line item and have staff come back in the next couple of months or less with a proposal, a scope of work, have some potential firm show you what something might look like, and then you could decide whether that's worth $65,000 or $150,000 or whatever it may end up being. We're kind of talking a little bit in generalities, and maybe if we had some specifics from a firm or two, then that might give the council a better comfort level about what it is and some control over what the scope of the project is.
Thank you for those comments. I guess what I'm hearing is I think there sounds like there's a majority up here who's saying they're not convinced that the specific plan in this budget is the prudent way to go. And while I appreciate Dave's comments being a planner, you know, if you tell me to do a specific plan, that's fun. But knowing that there, in fact, is a majority up here, even though Councilmember Lieberman is not here, I'm thinking that maybe an alternative would be to defer this for a year. Let's let the PD overlay get approved. Let's do the parking analysis. And I am going to be adamant about the land use element update addressing, if nothing else, the conflicts that are occurring along Beckett between industrial and residential uses. I think there's a better use for that property, and I would like to see that as a compromise for not being able to do the comprehensive land use element update. And so if we can do those three things,
we're
I guess
just
I'm going
to delay the whole thing for a year and proceed with our other.
So what you were suggesting was putting this in the contingency line item. Does that?
What you just mentioned, if we knew the dollar amounts for each one of those things, we said there was $20,000 for a parking study and, you know, $30,000 to do the land use element map update and We already have the conceptual project in here elsewhere. I don't know how much the elements of that add up to, but let's say they add up to somewhere around $65,000. If we just plug this in contingency and say come back and scope out what it is you want and give you some detailed numbers, we can do it that way, or you can just not fund it and give us direction to come back and scope out those things with a dollar amount, and the council can amend the budget on any Monday, or actually the agency on any Monday to, or any agency meeting to do that.
Mayor Pro Tem Bursaw.
Mayor, I'd like to suggest that we follow the city manager's recommendation and that we go ahead and approve this item with the specific understanding that before staff takes any steps towards actually entering into a contract or starting a specific plan, that the council is consulted and we have an opportunity to approve that in advance. That gives us the opportunity to determine based on what, on a lot more facts than we're looking at right now, is the prudence of moving forward with a specific plan. But we'll have the money in the budget to that's there in case we want to use it.
Okay.
With that understanding, I withdraw my objection to the item.
Okay. So then we will leave it in here. I think part of the suggestion was that this isn't a, is it going to be in a contingency line item? Right? Okay. So that's, I think we actually combined special activities and improvement agency somewhat. So maybe we can take both of those. And is there anyone in the audience who would like to address special activities and improve the improvement agency budget? Yeah, but that's okay. That's okay. So I think we've seen the budget that's been presented by staff for special activities and improvement agency. We've asked questions. They've been answered. Do we accept this in concept? To my right, to my left, I think so.
Yes.
I think we've gotten through to the point where we can entertain a motion for adoption of the FY06 budget and concept, including potential adjustments to water rates, give staff direction to prepare the various resolutions necessary to adopt the FY06 budget, and then to continue this. I think the recommendation is to continue this to a special meeting on Wednesday, June 29th, to adopt the...
Five of you should be there on the 29th, and it's an important enough...
That's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
No,
Mayor, I would like to make the motion to accept the staff's recommendation as you read it. Items 1, 2, and 4.
That's a good motion. I have a motion by Council Board Member Ekbom. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a second by, who is that? Mayor Pro Tem and Vice Chair Versaw.
Discussion?
Is there any other discussion?
Yeah, if you don't mind. I'd just like to take a second to thank all of our staff, city manager, and all of the department heads. Favorably impressed by each of you and the efforts that you went through in advance of ever presenting this budget to the council. It's clear to me that there was an awful lot of work that went through and by the department heads alone, some probably tough decisions that had to be made that affect not only each department but the city in general. And I really do appreciate the effort that went into this. And there's just one point I'd like to make to our taxpayers that this is all their money and it's a responsibility I know that we all take very, very seriously. One note that I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood that this budget contains appropriated reserves of over $1.8 million, including contingency reserves, $281,000 plus. It's there are some deaths that are represented here. We've talked a lot about it, but it's a very, I think, a very prudent fiscal approach to the city's budget for the coming year. And again, I appreciate the hard work everybody did. Thanks.
Well, that's the last time I let you go first. You just stole all of my thunder. So this is a voice vote, correct? So there is a motion and a second on the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. And I just want to echo what Mayor Pro Tem Versa has said. Thank staff for their hard work, because there has been an extraordinary amount of work in here. And given these tough economic times, it is a fiscally prudent budget. There has been some sacrifices, and we recognize that. And I wanted to compliment Administrative Services Director Chapman, Eve Bird, and those who work in that department who don't often get recognized, and certainly city management and all of those employees. And I believe this year's lunch is on Mayor Pro Tem Versa.
I'll second that.
And they said it can't be hamburgers and hot dogs either. Okay, so we have a budget approved in concept that will be coming back to this board and body for final approval at a special meeting on June 29, 2005, City Attorney.
Thank you. That's exactly what I wanted to clarify. The meeting on the 29th will be simply a special meeting. We're not continuing this meeting per se to the 29th, but simply setting a special meeting for
Code Section 54957, employee is city manager. With that, we are adjourned.